Paul's labor for the church. Last week we looked at his concerns about himself preaching the gospel, and we looked at he was really engaged into sharing that message with Jews and Gentiles, and he had some trials and tribulations in his life that he had to overcome. Today we're going to start with the second part of that section where Paul had a concern for the spiritual welfare of his readers, those who were received this letter. He was trying to encourage them, admonish them in the spirit of love. And that is Colossians chapter 2, 1 to 7. And then we're going to get into the fourth section of the book, which is the freedom from human regulations through the life of Christ, which is the heart of the particular book. We're going to see that in verses 8 through 15, he's going to warn against false teachers. He's going to make pleas for those saints at Colossae to reject false teachers. And then we're going to analyze what that specific, what those specific heresies are. I don't know how far we're going to get, but we'll try to go as fast as we can and cover as much information that we can. I'm not trying to go slow, but when you look at this particular letter, there's a lot of information that we should digest in our Christian way of life. And I'm trying to cover as many points as I can, because even though this letter has been written to the Colossian saints, it is very important that we listen to that message, because it is applicable to you and I today. They had a problem with false teachers where they infiltrated their assemblies and trying to draw them away. And when you look at Paul's life, we see that wherever he went into a synagogue and was asked to preach and talk, he preached Jesus, and Judaizing people didn't like that. They wanted to continue in their traditions and be pleasing to men. And Paul had to confront that. And now it's happening in the church at Colossae. And one of the neighboring churches that we had looked at was Laodicea. And we're going to read a little bit about that this morning. So with that, I'll start with verse 1 of chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knitted together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say that so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk with him, having been firmly rooted and now being built in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Those words are pretty solid when you hear them, because they drive a point to Christians about their faith, about the bond of love they have for one another. And when you examine Paul, he didn't see these people. He probably never had the opportunity, but they heard the message that he was preaching. And he wants to encourage them to continue faithfully serving the Lord. We looked at the first part of verse 1 last week, how great a struggle I have on your behalf. Well, that conflict was a mental conflict. He has concerns about the saints at Colossae falling away, going away from worshiping God and falling into the snares of those who are trying to persuade them to believe with their philosophies and different sorts of things that they're putting on them to do over and above what the gospel says. He also had a care and love for the saints at Colossians, the Colossian saints. Something that we as Christians should emulate in our lives for our brothers and sisters. May not be in the church here at Colbert, but there are other saints in the world that are struggling, that are having different trials in their life. Their faith is being tested. A test that God gives each and every one of us, trials so that we can overcome them. He mentions the saints at Laodicea, Christian saints. And we read it, we have some information about that Jesus had shared with the Apostle John in the Revelation letter, chapter 3, and verse 14 to 22, where he says to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation, God says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness will not reveal, and an eye slave to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here's the saints in Laodicea combating the same problems that the saints at Colossae are experiencing. And that is false teachers trying to add to the Word of God and bind those traditions and different festivals on Christians for their salvation. And Paul was really concerned, as with Jesus here with the saint at Laodicea, where he says in verse 16, "You are neither hot nor cold." Make a commitment. When we as Christians put on Christ, we are committed. And that commitment should be 110% of our lives. You know, we live in this society that is very materialistic. People are gaining wealth and they want more and more. But yet, what's going to happen with all the treasures they accumulate on this earth? Now, I'm not going to be able to take it with them in the next life. So, be cautious of that in your life. And Paul is going through some concerns and really conflicts because he can't assist those people face to face. Where he says in the next part of that verse, "All those who have not personally seen my face." We haven't seen the face of Paul, but yet we have his writings, his inspired writings from the Holy Spirit. And as we journey through our Christian way of life, we should be making applications of this to our lives. Paul didn't want those Christians at Colossae to follow false teaching. But he wanted them to know that they should continue on the path of the true knowledge, because the mystery of God was Christ himself. He continues on. He wants their hearts to be encouraged. He wants them to be comforted. He wants his words to touch their minds and hearts so that they can see that their first love is Christ Jesus. Having been knitted together in love. This is the bond of unity. A love that is so intertwined with each and every Christian. And Paul demonstrates this in his life where he's reaching out to the saints at Colossae with the spirit of love. He's concerned about them. He wants their souls not to be lost. We see this demonstrated in Acts, in the first century church, starting with chapter 2 and verse 42 to 47. And Frank, can I ask you to read that for us, please? Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42 to 47, please.
"And they were devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer, and to prayer. And fear came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being performed by the apostles, and all who believed were in the same place and had everything in common. And they began selling their possessions and property and distributing these things to all to the degree that anyone had need." Any more?
Down to 47, please.
Okay. "And every day devoting having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding every day to their total of those who were being saved.
Thank you, Frank. We see that the saints in Jerusalem, when they were together, they had a commonality of faith. And what that faith had did was bond them together in the unity of love, where they shared with other saints who traveled to Jerusalem for the Pentecost, and they shared with them what they had because they were in need. They expressed a bond of love and unity. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, we read, "From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." The book of Ephesians is a parallel book to Colossians. And when we look at it, the Colossian letter, the Ephesian letter, the Philippians letter, and Philemon were the letters that Paul had written when he was in prison, sharing this information with the saints, and as we have it today with us, so that we can be bonded together in our faith, be bonded together in the spirit of love. And like he said in this particular verse where he compares the human body, in fact, when you think about it, the arms, the legs, they all have a purpose. And that's what the church is. We all have different talents. We all have different abilities. We all have different things to share with each other, to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, to admonish each other, because we have one goal. And that one goal is eternal life. It's our salvation through Christ Jesus. And what God had given to us is far beyond comprehension for you and I, at least for me. I can't understand what God, by His grace and mercy, gave you and I. That's salvation. Before I was a Christian, I was on a road that was a road of destruction for myself. You know, I lived in the world. I was part of the world. And I won't go into anything further than that. But yet, when Jesus was preached and I understood what His message was, salvation was a pretty high price that Jesus paid for you and I. He came down from heaven. He took on a human body so that He could experience what you and I have, the temptations of the world, the different emotions that we experience. He experienced all that. But yet He was sinless for God's purpose. And that purpose was the sacrifice that humanity has for their sins to be forgiven. So that not only you and I, but people who accept God in the world will have the same opportunity to go to heaven. And when you look at Jesus's life, it's really hard for you and I even to follow in His footsteps. We make mistakes. We sin. But yet we should strive to be Christ-like in all our dealings, in all our in our speech, in all our actions, and so that people in the world can see that we stand for Christ, no matter what cost there is. When you look at the apostles, the early Christians in the first century, where they didn't waver from their faith, even to the point of death. Now, we have a luxury here in the United States where we don't have that looming over our heads, religious persecution. But there are areas in the world that undergo that today, and we have to be concerned about that. And attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. Paul says in the Romans chapter 2, in verse 4, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads to your repentance?" So God is very kind to us, very patient with us. And that's an area that I really have to work on, patience. And when you think about that, someone may not have the same ability as you, but you don't expect them to achieve that level. You just have to help them along so that they can grow in their spiritual way of life. And that's what Paul's doing here with the Christians. He's explaining to them, stay steadfast and immobile in your faith, resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, I'll jump back to verse 4. I'll read. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ should be our focus. Jesus Christ should be who we model our lives, because he is the head of the church. He is our spiritual guide, and not to listen to different individuals who try to water that down and try to dilute that so that you could be drawn away from Christ. In verse 3, he continues about Christ himself. He says, "In whom are all the hidden treasures?" In Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages." That mystery that was kept secret. "But now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all nations, leading to obedience." What is that mystery that was hidden for ages and ages? It's that not only the children of Israelite, who was God's people, his chosen people, would be saved, but also the Gentiles of the world. Salvation is to all men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 7 and 8. I'll get there. Just give me a second here. We read, "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of our to our glory. The wisdom now known, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood, if they understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus was here on the earth. And God's will was for him to die on the cross so that all mankind could have salvation. In the Ephesians letter chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, we read, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So that was shared to the saints at Colossae. They were faithful when they heard the message. They were very joyous and had a zeal to go and share it with others. But yet, there were worldly people that came in and tried to pull them away with their persuasive arguments, with their binding traditions and different philosophies. But yet, those are the hidden treasures of Christ, of the wisdom and knowledge. And that's something that we should pursue. It must have been very difficult for the early church to go through their lives and just have someone preaching and proclaiming God's word, hearing different pieces of information from the apostles via their letters, their writings. But we have the whole book in front of us. And it's up to you and I to use that in our lives so that we may be better Christians. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Let's dive into God's word. Let's use his word to mold our lives so that we can be better servants of his. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 24, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. How can you and I receive that wisdom? By being immersed in his word. And make sure nobody deludes you or persuades you with different types of arguments. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. And Faye, can you read that for me, please? Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17 through 24.
So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the light of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greed. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside
Thank you. So when we look at that, it's your Christian way of life, your Christian walk. It's a walk that should emulate Christ Jesus so that other people can recognize that you're a Christian. And in verse 5, he said, Paul is absent, and he is in spirit with them, rejoicing to see that their good discipline and the stability of the faith in Christ. What if Paul was to look at our church today? Would he see our faith that's shining in this community? That we're so grounded and rooted in God's Word that we don't allow false teachers to come in to try to pull us away, and we don't allow the world to influence the way of our life. In verse 16 of that same chapter, Paul says, for whom the whole body being fitted and held together by whatever joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual. Each individual part causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We meet here, we assemble here, we listen to God's Word. It encourages each and every one of us. It builds us up. It gives us an opportunity to grow. And that growth should be seen in our lives, not only from our brothers and sisters, but also in the people in the world who will notice there's something different about that individual. He has something that maybe I want to have. And that's when we share the story of the gospel. That's when we share with those people that Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and he was raised, so that by God's grace and mercy we may have salvation. It's not by our merits and not by what we do, but it's by God's grace. And he said also that they received Christ Jesus, they received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk with him. That's a walk that you and I should journey through our life here on this earth. Faye could share this with you. When I was asked to present a lesson years and years and years ago, when I was first a Christian, I must have had about 5-10 sheets of information. I thought this should be just be okay. I finished in 5 minutes. I'm saying, oh my goodness. I had a lot to grow in my Christian way of life. I have difficulty speaking to a group. But yet it's imperative that I overcome that so I could share what I have, my talents, with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's one thing that we should do. We receive Christ Jesus in our lives, walk with him. Emulate him in your life. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Our faith binds us as brothers and sisters. It unifies us so that you and I could express a spirit of love for one another. You know what love is by what you share with your immediate families, but yet we are from different walks of life, but yet we are Christians, bonded by our faith. And in the first chapter of Colossians, in verse 10, Paul says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We should be increasing in our knowledge of God. We may do it at different speeds, different levels through our lives. In fact, when you ask anyone who has been a Christian for a long time, they don't say that they know the Bible. They don't say that they understood everything what God said. They are still a student, learning more and more. When you read God's Word, you could read something and you go back to it again and again. You could find something else that God is telling you and apply that to your lives. Walk in Him. In Galatians chapter 5 and 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. It's up to you and I to continue with that relationship with God. In verse 7, Paul had indicated they were firmly rooted and now being built up in Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ, which is Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. Again, we talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago, that those virtues of faith, hope, and love should be indelled upon our hearts and minds so that we could share with each other and also those of the world. They were established in your faith, just as you've been instructed. Those saints who heard the gospel, like you and I who obeyed the gospel, were established in our faith. People had taught you and I, Paul's instructing the saints at Colossae in this particular letter to make sure they stay on the straight and narrow. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 to 10. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, conform, strengthen, and establish you. So these trials that we undergo, these challenges that we have in our lives, affect us. Overcome them for the cause of Christ. But yet, do it in a spirit of gratitude towards God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 to 58, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immobile, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We may experience different things that we burden. Put those burdens on God. Ask for His help. And we do have an avenue. And Paul had shared that with us in the first chapter where he prayed for the saints. Saints that he didn't even know, but yet they are his brothers and sisters, just like the people who are in this area who are saints. They are our brothers and sisters that we should have a love and a concern for and a care for. And Paul had a spiritual concern for their well-being. Just as you and I should have a spiritual concern with not only our brothers and sisters here, but also faithful Christians and Christians who are struggling in the world. I'll go back one here. We're going to go into the next section, which will cover... I'm going the wrong way here. Which is going to consist of Paul's warning them, the saints at Colossae, to beware of those false teachers. He pleads with them to reject them. And also, when you look at what they had infiltrated the church at the Colossian church, we're going to see that they have to be on guard. An admonition that we should also be concerned about. Dick, can I have you read verses 8 to 15, please? Thank you, Dick, for that reading. So, in this particular section is the meat of what Paul is getting into. His concerns about what's happening at the saints who worship in Colossae. In verse 8, we see that there are four of the different items that he focuses on. He said, let no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deception. Be on guard to yourselves. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, make the most of your time because the days are evil. Make sure no one takes advantage of you according to the traditions of men. While in the early church, they are experiencing a number of people who want to keep things the same, want to keep things the way it used to be, follow what they are comfortable with. Get out of your comfort zone. Make sure you stand fast for Christ. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, why do you disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? That's something that we really have to be concerned about. In Matthew, in the same chapter in verse 6, he is not to honor his father or his mother, but by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Stay away from traditions. He also says in verse 8, according to the elementary principles of the world. That's a pretty interesting topic. Elementary principles of the world. To look at that, let's go to Galatians chapter 4, starting with verse 2. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father, speaking about children. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elementary things of this world. Sin captured us. Sin had a hold on us. Paul said in chapter 3 of the book of Romans, verse 23, for all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Be concerned about that. But rather than according to Christ Jesus, in Ephesians chapter 5, I'll finish off the class with this, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So, Jesus Christ did for you and I. Let's make sure our faith is strong. Make sure we don't deviate from that. Let's pray that we could assist each other and help each other, encourage and admonish each other so that we can all be in heaven, hopefully. I'd like to see everybody there. Hopefully I get there too.